so, and then when did the whole Naked on the Floor orchestra start cropping up?
What happened?
In the last 10 years or something?
No, actually, well, that's interesting how that showed up. That showed up, you know, we were all playing with Kermit early on at that point, and there were some younger guys coming in from other places, like Rob Wagner was there. And the thing about it, early on, I met Nick Sonsenbach, and Nick was running these jam sessions down. Anyway, I put together this small band called the Square Music Band. I was playing, like, more trad stuff. I wasn't trad, but I was doing this group. I had a group that I was under my name that played at Little People's with Walter Payton and that were playing, where I was just playing, like, you know, jazz tunes and whatever. And, you know, he was, you know, explaining to me very politely and in an exciting way what to play and what not to play on the bandstand, which is a useful thing that goes on here. But at the same time as that, I was getting to run with this other kind of playing up there with Nick, because I had ideas about how to write those tunes. So I had a thing called the Square Music Band with some people, and then that sort of started to melt away, but so it melted away because I couldn't keep people in it, but I got a gig with a trio, a couple guys from the Klezmers, to play these tunes that I was writing, and I had the little thing going, and then it was hard to get them, so then it expanded into that group with Jim Singleton, and those guys agreed to play, which for me was like, I can't even believe it. I was suddenly with Tim because of Michael Ray. And then, just to cut this short so I don't blow it, what happened was I started that band called Naked on the Floor, and then what happened is I said, well, by that time, by about 1998, I knew a lot of musicians in town from doing things, and the city was really divided stylistically at that point. I remember musicians always seemed to be unnaturally sort of, you know, suspicious of each other, and their abilities, and whether or not anyone had this together or that together, or, you know, could really play jazz, or whether they could really play, man, or, you know, these kinds of concerns that I thought were really kind of somewhat unnatural hierarchical stuff, and that it didn't really serve music, because ultimately I just never thought that it should be about whether or not you can play some other kind of stuff that's going to make it okay for people, but that you can play what's important now, which is never going to be some kind of style in particular. So I think it was taking all those people, different kinds of people with all of those skill sets that they've acquired, and have them look at something else using all that information. Because a musician is somebody that's spent years looking in detail at some set of stuff. You know, he's got an individual set of eyes he's been attracted to and got involved in some unbelievably detailed level of stuff that is only his story. But to take that knowledge and throw it on him and say, okay, but now play this that is unrelated to that with using that skill set. And you have a lot of people this way, you know, how to do that, basically.
Now, when it... Big Jimbo come on the scene.
Yeah, that's interesting. Jimbo showed up right about when I was sitting there going, I'm really going to need to learn more composition. I was interested in certain kinds of modern orchestral stuff, and I realized, you know, I was hitting that point where it was like, to be honest, I'm about to do this, but I don't have any skills for this. I wasn't trained in school or anything like that. And Capello, Dave Capello, was... here is a really interesting drummer that had come down from New York, and I knew about Dave because, you know, I was really into, I hate the term free play, free music, whatever, but Dave was really somebody who had he had another approach to drums that I understood from a lot of listening and thought was amazing and really was something, and I was playing with him, but Jimbo came down to visit Dave, and Dave was and then he decided to move here, so. And I was talking to Dave and saying, well, I want to learn this. So he said, you need to talk to Jimbo. He really knows about Schoenberg and these things, really. So I called Jimbo and said, well, I want some lessons. And this turned into a peculiar thing. Jimbo, I saw him as a Stravinsky and Schoenberg. I got to his house, and he had, before I got there, he had reduced himself. He had done a reduction of the Firebird, the first part of the Firebird. So he said, well, we should look at this. I said, you don't understand. I don't even... I can't believe he did that. I was like, oh no, I don't even have the skills to look into that. Man, I didn't realize we were going to start there. I said, maybe we should start at the beginning. He says, you want to start at the beginning? I said, yeah, how about if you try to teach me the full story? He says to me, the 190 lessons. I said, okay, the 190, what's that? He says, you know, there used to be a pedagogy that was involved. You know, you got the pedagogy, it was a classical system, you got the pedagogy along with the skills. So I was going to his house every week or twice a week for years to study whatever he was
So when you write either for the orchestra or for yourself, what do you draw on, you think, more from the right brain or the left brain? Are you thinking, okay, color, dissonance, how do you start writing anything?
Usually I have a drive that is a drive. It's so not...
It's in your brain first.
It's in my body. It's the whole package. There's something that's spurring me on as a certain kind of energetic value that makes me feel like I have to do it.
Do you need an instrument in your hands?
Not so much. No, not anymore. Sometimes I'll do things. Sometimes I'm playing, I'm practicing. Because I think, you know, for me writing, I have to be practicing a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I start to come across interesting things. Like, you know, like a few minutes ago, you were like, well, I'm working on this, and this isn't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that process of you find something that for some reason strikes you as interesting, and you're like, what is this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's some kind of world that you get into with, well, what is it? You know, like you said, it had a lot of definition. You know, when we were discussing that particular formation you were playing, well, it could have a lot of definitions. You know, you're looking at it like this, you could look at it like that, you look at the other. So the next thing is that I really just sit there and try to work out something that I think is actually beautiful. The most important thing to me is that I'm not doing anything ugly out in the world. So the first thing is you start trying to cull away anything that really represents...
And
you